But I appreciate you being here. And if I can get this thing clicked in, we'll move on. All right. Yeah, as I said, you guys didn't come here to necessarily hear me speak. Hopefully you came here to hear a message from God's Word. Hopefully in the next few minutes, we'll do just that. A couple of weeks ago, Brother Steve ended his lesson with these words. God deserves all the honor, respect, homage, and obedience that we can offer. And that made me start thinking. Made me start thinking about myself. About what does it really mean to honor God? And then the bigger question that I had to myself is, my everyday life, the things that I do, am I truly honoring God? And I came to the realization, the true realization, that there are things in my life that, you know what, I really don't show honor to God and how I handle those things. And so I've been pondering on that for several weeks and decided to do a little study on it. And I want to share some of the things that I have found. We live in an irreverent and disrespectful age. And yet God's expectation is that we show honor. So what is honor? Well, honor is a high respect and esteem. It's a regard with great respect to fulfill or keep an obligation or an agreement. Synonyms of honor include esteem, respect, pay homage to, and assigning value to. Showing honor means treating another respectfully because we value them highly. On my honor. Most of you probably know that I've been involved with the Boy Scouts for several years here, and it's been in the news lately. You know, they capitulated to some financial pressures, and some of the news that came out was negative. But my feeling is that I think it's an opportunity for me to spend time with my son, spend time with some of your sons, and to teach them about God, really. The oath, the Boy Scout oath, upon my honor, I will do my best to do my duty. In my country, to obey the scout law, help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. And we say that oath every time that we meet. And I got to thinking about that, and those first few words that those young men say, on my honor. And I got to thinking, do they really know what that means? And I don't think they do. They start out in scouts at about age 11, Boy Scouts at age 11. And I hope that by the age of 18, they have a better understanding of those three words, on my honor. You can ask some of them. Some of them are here. But I got to thinking about that. And when I made a commitment to Christ, I basically said, God, on my honor, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I believe that those words mean a whole lot more than just the belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. On my honor. We talk about honor these days, and a lot of times we hear the term Medal of Honor. Now this Medal of Honor is awarded for personal acts of valor above and beyond the call of. We're not here to talk about this medal, because those medals are someday going to perish. They're probably going to be put in a desk. Even this medal here will be put in a desk somewhere, and it'll just grow dust, and eventually it will decay. But we're working toward an imperishable crown. An imperishable crown. So we want to look at this morning, what does it mean to live an honorable life? When we make that statement, on my honor. What does it mean? Well, it means being sincere, free from pretense, deceit, and hypocrisy. Saying what you mean and doing what you say. Are we living in a manner where others can't believe that our yes is yes and our no is no because we are showing no honor? Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:37 that anything else, anything more than this is from the evil. To live an honorable life before God, we must give honor to the Creator, give honor to others, and give honor to ourselves. Honoring from a pure motive is possible only when we have a proper perspective of who God is, what we are, and who others are in relation to us and God. It begins with deep honor. Actually, it begins and ends with deep honor and respect for God and for everything that He said. We must give honor to the Creator. And so the first question we want to ask this morning is, well, why should we honor God? Well, first and foremost, I believe that it's a command from God. When we look back into the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 20, when God came down and He gave His commandments to His people, the first four commandments were specifically directed of how the people were to treat Him. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. You shall not bow down to them. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. See, God wanted them to know that He had expectations for them. He was the Creator. He created them. He brought them out of Egypt. This is the due respect that you owe me. You give honor to me because of who I am. We give honor to God because He deserves it. The last couple of days I was just flipping through the book of Psalms and trying to see all of the adjectives, I guess, hopefully that's correct. Adjectives that are given to God. All right. He is our shepherd. He knows what's the best for His sheep. He is our light and salvation. He's our rock, our fortress. And man, if we ever need a rock and a fortress, right now is a good time to have it. He is our rock and fortress. He is our refuge and strength. He is the mighty one. He is the God of my salvation. He is the holder of my trust. He is the God of my righteousness. Why do we want to honor God? Because He deserves it. That's why. The psalmist tells us that He is surrounded and encompassed with honor and majesty. In Psalms 104 and verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. You are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. And when I thought about that, I thought about you see some of these royals, and especially the older royal pictures and everything, and the garb that they wear, I guess. And they're enclosed in this royal apparel. And what is the God of heaven clothed in? Honor and majesty. Psalms 96:6 tells us that honor and majesty are before Him. So He is completely surrounded with honor and majesty. Don't you see that that's what He expects from His creatures? That one who created us, the expectation is that honor be given to Him. He is worthy of this. Revelations chapter 4, if you'd like to turn there. Revelations chapter 4. the throne scene as seen by John. We'll begin in verse 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him and lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. Why should we honor God? Because He created all things, and by His will, we exist and were created. We should be giving honor to God because He deserves it. And next, why should we honor God? Well, for our own good. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, the context there is Eli's sons being chastised, right? And it goes on to say that God will give honor to those whom honors deserve, but He will despise those who despise Him. Despise, look with contempt or aversion, show no honor. No, if we're despising God, the only result that we can expect is for God to despise us. Next, we'll see that God will punish those who don't give Him the proper honor. In Numbers chapter 20, we remember the children of Israel had come out of Egypt, and they approached Moses and Aaron saying, we're thirsty. You know, there's no water. And Moses and Aaron went before God, and God told them what to do. He says, go out there and speak to the rock, and I'll bring you water. And Moses and Aaron went out there, and they said, are we going to have to do this for you? And they struck the rock. And God says, because you failed to hallow me in the eyes of the children, you won't be able to go into the promised land. Just that one instance, all the good that Moses had done, and that one instance, because he failed to honor God, he was not able to enter the promised land. We think about Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 4. We read how he was walking along the walls of his kingdom, and his whole thought was, wow, look what I've done. Man, look at all these things that I've put together. Man, aren't I good? And God told him, you know what? You failed to give me the honor. And you're going to go out into the pasture and you're going to be like a beast of the field. And guess what Nebuchadnezzar did when he got through with that? He gave God the honor that he deserved. We move over into the next chapter of Daniel. Daniel chapter 5, Belshazzar. He should have known better, right? There was his father out in the fields living like an animal. He came back and he fell down and he knew he honored God because of what he had learned. And Belshazzar didn't learn the lesson. We're guilty of that, aren't we, sometimes? You know, I look at my dad and I see how he lived, and he wasn't perfect. He made some mistakes, but he did some good things. And guess what? I don't follow his examples, and I'm contrary to God. And it just flows down the hill, doesn't it? We fail to use the examples before us. And this is what Belshazzar did. He brought out these items from the temple, and he was drinking and having this big party. And all of a sudden, a finger shows up. And it says his countenance changed. His knees were shaking. He called out and said, you should have known better. And he ended up losing his kingdom. See, we have to give the honor that God deserves because it's for our own good. He deserves it, and it's for our own good. And so we move on. Well, how should we honor God? And that's a question that I asked when I was pondering about this statement. Well, how should we honor God? We know that why we should honor God, but how do we honor God? Well, let's turn over to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7, let's look at another scene that John describes to us. Revelation chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb,
clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and all four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to them, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them." And so here is this scene in heaven of all of these created beings focusing their attention on God sitting on the throne and giving Him the honor that He so richly deserves. Why is it so different for us today? When we gather in this assembly, are we coming in with the attitude of, "Well, it's just Sunday morning. If I don't go, one of the elders is going to call me and find out where I'm at. I guess I better show up." Are we coming in that door because we are here to worship the God who created us, who so richly deserves it? Are we sitting and singing in our pews, just going through the motions, saying the words, and not looking at the words and realizing, "To God be the glory, great things He has done"? Are we worshiping God with the honor and respect that He so richly deserves? Matthew 18, verse 20. Oh, one of the things I realized when I was reading through this, in the last part of verse 15, "And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them." In Matthew chapter 18, 20, "For where two or three are gathered in My name, I am there in the midst of them." And so the question came to my mind, would I worship any differently if God was here standing before me? Guess what, guys? He's here. Why would we think we would worship any difference if there was something that we could see up here? Because God is here. And sometimes we fail. Sometimes I fail to give Him the honor that He so richly deserves. We should honor Him in our worship and our praise. We should honor Him in spirit and in truth. The worship that we do has to be in accordance with His will. And if it's not in His will, it's not honorable to Him. So we have to ask ourselves the question, are we worshiping in spirit and in truth? We honor God by proclaiming His praises and doing His will. Turn over with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter tells us, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." And sometimes I forget that I was in complete darkness and it was God who pulled me out. And I fail to give Him the honor. I fail to proclaim His name in every aspect of my life, every day of my life. I fail. There's so many times I can think about where I had an opportunity to talk to someone about God, about Jesus, about what they did to me, and I was too scared. I didn't give God the honor. Are we proclaiming His praises? Are we reading His will? Are we just hearers only? James tells us, don't be hearers only, but be doers of His will. Are we giving God the honor? Are we only playing lip service? Matthew 15 and verse 8. "These people draw near to Me with their mouth and honor Me with their lips, but their hearts are far from Me." And I'm afraid sometimes I've been guilty of giving lip service to God. We honor God with our possessions. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your..." And sometimes I fail to remember that everything that I have in this world, God has given me. And And am I giving back? And that's the question that we all have to ask ourselves. Are we honoring God the way that He wants us to? Are we giving Him the proper respect and reverence? Not only here, brethren, but when we walk through that door, when we go to work tomorrow, when we're at home, are we giving God the honor that He so richly deserves? And next, we need to understand that we live an honorable life by giving honor to others. Brother Steve has done an excellent job this year of sharing with us as family on how we should be treating one another. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that, but what I do want you to understand, which I've come to understand better in the last couple of weeks, is that God expects us to show honor to others. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7, of course, that context being that those are in authority, but it says, render to all their due honor to whom honor. All their due. Render to all their due. And then in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, we see that we are to look out for the interests of others. Let each esteem others better than himself. And it's interesting to note, and I don't know how many times I've looked at the Ten Commandments and all this, but it's interesting though, the top four are, like I just said, are referenced in our relationship to God, and the final commandments are really directed in our relationship to each other. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against a neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. See, God realized that He wanted His creatures to live an honorable life. So who are we to honor? Well, first and foremost, father and mother. When I was doing, I guess basically a word search for this, and I knew that it was in Ephesians chapter 6, and I didn't realize that it's repeated multiple times throughout the Bible. Of course, it's repeated twice in the Old Testament, both times being speaking specifically about giving of the Ten Commandments. And it's spoken twice other, Matthew 15:4, Matthew 19:19. And I guess the question I had to ask myself is, do you think God expects us to honor our father and mother? I think He does. And then we have to ask ourselves the question, well, why? And I can't, this is my theory here. If we can't honor our father and mother here on earth, how in the world are we going to honor our father? I think that's something that God wants us to understand. Our parents brought us into this world. And I know there are out there, especially in the world, there are parents out there who are doing some pretty bad things. But we have to understand they're still parents. We have to respect our parents. No matter our age. And as our parents get older, it's challenging sometimes to have to face the fact that we have to tell them sometimes what they need to do. We have to do it in respect for them. We have to do it in honor. Because that's my dad. That's my mom. God commands me. We're to honor widows who are really widows. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 3. And I can just imagine in that time that when a man died and there was no family, that widows were often left destitute. And I believe that this is what Paul is talking about. Because he goes on to say, hey, if they've got children and grandchildren, those people need to take care of them first. But we are to honor widows. Who are really widows. We are to honor elders who rule well. Paul says that we should count them worthy of double honor. Why do you think that's so? Because they have a grave responsibility that God has given them. They are responsible for my soul. Now, do I have a part in that? Absolutely. but in the role that they've been given. Our elders have a responsibility for every single soul in this congregation. And we may not agree with every single decision that they make, but as long as it's not a scriptural issue, we have a duty to give them honor. So let's remember that the next time that a decision is made and I just can't believe that they did that. Well, first of all, go talk to them about it. But you have to do it in an honorable and respectful manner because it's a command from God. And if we give God the honor, you see how it's going? It's going to flow down to all these other people. We need to honor our elders. We need to honor our spouse. Husbands are to give honor to their wife. Wives honor their husbands by being in subjection to them as to the Lord. So both sides has a responsibility to show honor to one another. And how many times when we talk to people who are struggling with their marriage, it's always this, isn't it? Well, you know what that tells them? They're not doing what God wants them to do because they're not honoring their spouse. We need to honor our spouse. We need to honor our brethren. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love in honor, giving preference to one another. Steve spent a whole lot of time on that, and we'll just move on. We need to honor all people. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Oh, hold on. Honor the king. What does he mean there? Well, I think Steve talked about that just a week or so ago. You know who was king at this time? Nero. And he's saying, you gotta honor him. There again, you may not agree with what he's doing, but you have to honor him because he is the authority that God has put in that position. So we are to honor others if we want to live an honorable life. And last, we want to honor ourselves. First of all, physically. We are created in the image of God. Have you ever stopped and thought about that? I mean, I look at myself sometimes and I go, dude, man, what in the world happened to you? You're getting old. But at the end of the day, you know, God created me in His image. He created every one of you in His image. Shouldn't we be respectful of our own physical body because of that? Our bodies are the temple of God, we read in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. And the context in that that scripture there is talking about sexual immorality. And Paul saying, you know, you need to respect your body. God gave you that. That is the temple of God, so respect that. And so from that aspect, sexual immorality, we know we shouldn't be participating in that. But then we have to ask ourselves a question. There's a lot of things out there that can destroy my body. Are we participating in those things? Are we giving honor to our physical body? But spiritually, we have to give honor to our bodies. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. We're not going to read that whole scripture because I'm running out of time. Verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and you've been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. If we change our lives like God wants us to, we will be showing honor to our body because we won't be participating in the things that we used to participate in that may harm our body. We have to put off that old man, and we have to put on the new. We have to honor ourselves. Turn with me to John chapter 12 and verse 26. And this is really, I struggled about putting this scripture up here, but because we're really not doing it ourselves. We're doing a service to God, and God is giving us the honor. John chapter 12 and verse 26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him, my Father, will honor. So if we're serving God, we reap honor upon ourselves. But what's the inference of that? If we're not serving God, God's not giving us any honor. We're not honoring ourselves. In conclusion, turn over with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Beginning in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. These people failed to glorify God. They failed to give God the honor that He so richly deserves. And you know what God did? God gave them up. He just said, I gave you the opportunity. You failed to respond. I am turning you over to your own lust. They failed to glorify God. They failed to give Him the honor that He so richly deserves. Paul to Timothy really tries to tell Timothy to be an example to him. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 12, Paul is saying, you know what, Timothy? You're a young guy. There's some young guys here. Don't let anyone despise your youth. But you guys be an example wherever you're at. You young people, be an example to me. I have a responsibility to be an example to you. You see what Paul tells Timothy? You got some responsibility too. Be an example. Be an example to the believers, verse 12, in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which is given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. And I want you to listen to this, because when Justin read this Wednesday night, I had to go back and read it again. That your progress may be evident to all. And he's not saying, you know, go out there in a prideful manner and let people know what you're doing. But I believe what he's saying is, if you're doing what God wants you to do, and you're honoring God, it's going to be evident to me. It's going to be evident to the elders. It's going to be evident to everybody in here. And so the question that we each of us have to ask ourselves, are we showing proper honor to God? If we haven't been able to show progress that is evident to all, that is evident to all of our brethren, then we really have to challenge ourselves and go, am I being honorable to God? God gave us all talent. He gave me just a minuscule amount. But I made a determination years ago, you know what? I'm going to take that little bit that God gave me, and I want to honor God better. And 2 weeks ago, I sat in that pew and go, I'm going to look at my life, and I want to honor God better. Help me. Tell me if a year from now, you're not seeing the progress. Because I believe now that God expects us to show it. We have the ability to help out in the worship service, but yet we just sit around and do nothing because we're guilty of complacency. Shame on us. Shame on us for not showing the proper honor to God. Over in chapter 2, Paul's talking about this great house of God that's sealed with this seal. He says in verse 20, but a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And so as we close this morning, the question that Paul is asking you is, are you a vessel of honor? Are you a vessel of dishonor? And if you've been failing to give the honor to God that He so richly deserves, you need to make some changes in your life. If you've been if you were traveling down the pathway a long time ago, and you basically stopped traveling, you're not showing honor to God. You need to change that. If you haven't stepped on that pathway to God because you have failed to accept your responsibility, you're not showing honor to God. Matter of fact, if you've never stepped on that pathway and you know what to do, I'm afraid there is nothing about you except dishonor. Because God expects us to be honored. On my honor. And the most honorable thing that you can do this morning is recognize that you need to make a change in your life. To give God your life. And to say, God, starting this moment, I want to show you honor. If you need to, do it right now. All together.